Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 6. And Dave, we got two exhibition games behind us. We got two more ahead of us with the one in the Big Easy tonight. But the real big news since you and I spoke last on Friday was Friday afternoon. It came down from the NFL that Le'Veon Bell's suspension was reduced from 4 games to 3 games. And it was interesting. They didn't say he was suspended for 3 games. They said there was a reduction in the suspension. So obviously it had been, you know, it was never confirmed by anybody, but there was a 4-game suspension out there. And it was negotiated between the Players Association and the league to drop this to 3 games. What's your take?
First of all, the game against the Saints is Friday night, not tonight. the thing with Bell is, boy, he sure seemed confident, didn't he, several weeks ago that this thing would be wiped out completely, and that, of course, wound up not being the case. I guess he should be lucky, you know, if you judge by the quick explanation or apology, whatever you want to call it, the video that he released earlier or over the weekend, I should say, that ran down his missed test, and then why he deleted that video, I'm not really sure. I have some suspicions, but
I'm guessing his agent or his lawyers just said, you know, don't be putting anything out there, and don't be. I mean, it's too late now. It was out there, and you know, I don't know how you reacted to it, Dave. I thought it was okay. I don't think he didn't do himself any harm with the video, but if he did that on his own, that just probably wasn't great thinking to not get some advice first.
Yeah, it seemed reactionary. It seemed frustrated, and I just wish he wouldn't have released one at all. Really, he stated in there that he hadn't smoked marijuana since
December 14th.
Yeah. Well, that was after he had already been, busted with LeGarrette Blount. So I don't know if he just had his dates mixed up or what. Maybe that statement in that video alone was the reason why he deleted the video. But look, you know, his best course of action right now, I would think, would be to keep a low profile. He talked to the media, I think, Saturday? Again, when they were, back in the locker room there. And, you know, anytime he was asked about the suspension, he says, well, I don't want to talk about that. I want to move forward. But yet he still would say bits and pieces about it. But the fact of the matter is he's going to miss the first 3 games of the season. It's obvious now that guys like Darryl Richardson and Fitzgerald Toussaint will both, you know, barring anything really unforeseen, make the final 53-man roster. And if I'm him, I just work on getting that knee back to 100% if it's not already, and get himself in the right place, ready for the fourth game of the regular season. So, I hope, people think I'm really down on Le'Veon Bell, and I'm not. You know, I said, several weeks ago that I believe him, and I believe that he is indeed clean. I'm hopeful that this is his last, off-the-field incident. But, I mean, make no mistake, he cost himself a lot of money possibly this offseason, and he's put the team once again in a compromising position at a start of a regular season, just as he did last year. So, hopefully he does get his life, it remains on track, and hopefully when he does return in week 4, he can be the running back that we all know that he can be, and this is the end of it, and move forward.
Is there any silver lining or any positive in the fact that it looks like the reason he was suspended was he missed the test and didn't fail the test? Is there anything Do you take anything good about that?
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. I mean, to me, it's the better of the two, right? I think he learned his lesson, and now he just needs to learn that, look, the league takes these drug tests serious, and if you have to be at a certain place at a certain time, wherever you are, whether you're out of town or whatnot, you got to do everything in that needs to be done to get there and take the test, and especially if you know that you're clean.
Okay, so, here we are. The Steelers have, basically, 3 weeks until their opener against the Washington Redskins. You and I expect David DeCastro's extension to get done. Are the Steelers going to get any other contract done, and is there any chance anything gets done with Le'Veon Bell?
Man, unless he takes a deal that's really, really in the Steelers' favor, if I'm Le'Veon Bell at this point, I don't think I take one of those deals, because somebody out there is willing to probably pay him more should he hit free agency, after the year's over. And there's, of course, obviously the chance that he has a good season and he stays healthy, that he gets the franchise tag next year from the Steelers. So I don't think we see a deal with him between now and the start of the regular season. As far as the other guys, if you believe some of the other reports out there, a guy like Lawrence Timmons is not going to get an extension. So that leaves pretty much David DeCastro as probably the only person likely to get one, in the coming weeks here. And I still will be surprised if that doesn't happen.
I'll be shocked if it doesn't happen. So I'm with you on that. The only thing we didn't touch on there, Dave, with the Le'Veon Bell thing, is if all the reports are believed that he was not put in the next stage of the program where he would get a 10-game suspension. And let's just be clear about something. I was not fully aware of this. To get into the program, you've got to fail 4 tests. You've got to – when we talk about what Martavis Bryant did, I mean, he had failed 4 to get in. And then, you go from there. So it's not, the very first time you fail a test, you're not in the program. You get fined, and then things kind of escalate until you get a suspension. And I will just say that I have heard from, I think reasonable sources, but off the record, that there are some other Steelers, prominent Steelers, who have failed tests, but they're not to the 4-game point. So, it's not like all guys are necessarily walking around clean, and then there's a complete delineation, and then you're a guy who's in the program. There is a gray area in there where you could have had a positive test, but you're not in the program.
Very, very, very true, and it probably wouldn't be shocking to find out there are other players, with one unknown strike, if you will, against them. So. It's nice that Le'Veon Bell does have another, I guess, would you call it a mulligan? but I mean, hopefully we don't get to the. If he does use up that mulligan, I would suspect that it would be somebody else's problem at that point, right?
Yeah, but not. I mean, I guess it's certainly possible it could happen in the next year, and so, or in the next 4 months. But I guess you're right, because at that point. They're not testing right now. Well, they're going to be testing him, I guess. I guess he is still susceptible to it. So I guess it could happen. But yes, I agree with the overall thought. Okay, did you get a chuckle or anything more out of the fact that Pro Football Focus, put out a tweet that said Tyler Matakevich, inside linebacker for the Steelers, was the highest rated inside linebacker so far this preseason with his performance on Thursday night. The somewhat funny thing about that is there had only been 18 games played in the entire NFL, and obviously starters are playing, not much of those games. So I thought it was a bit low. To Steeler fans, obviously jumped on that as a huge positive here. Did you take anything away from that?
I mean, his play was good. I mean, and it's been good so far during the first 2 preseason games. So, I mean,
In game one, he only played like 8 or 9 plays, right? I mean, in terms of being in the defense.
I think he played a little bit more than that. I can pull that up while we talk here. But the fact that, I didn't think he did anything to hurt his chances in that first preseason game against the Lions. Now, he obviously played. And look, against the Eagles, he only played in the fourth quarter, right? So, he got some extended time there. And while he was in there, he did some good things. I broke down all of the tackles that he had. And, the first one came early in the game as a member of special teams where he ran down the punt returner from behind. Great hustle there that you like to see. Now, that play was obviously called back because of a legal block in the back or a legal block above the waist or something like that. He did some great things in that game, but put it into perspective of when it came in the game. Does he have a shot at this roster? Absolutely, absolutely. But you got to remember that we're talking possibly about a player that's also battling against guys like Steven Johnson and LJ Fort for what figures to be two spots. And when you consider that, while Steven Johnson, of the three, talking about Johnson, Fort, and Matakevich, who probably hasn't stuck out the most defensively, LJ or Steven Johnson is known for his special teams play. You would think that he has the best inside track at one of those two spots. Now, when you talk about a guy like Fort certainly hasn't hurt his chances of making a roster in the first two preseason games as well. And I thought Fort in coverage showed some good things the other night against the Eagles, and also attacking downhill against the run as well. So, and he's another guy that can contribute on special teams. So am I ruling out the fact that Matakevich can't make the final 53? Absolutely not. But, I think it's going to come down to what happens in these final two preseason games between him and a guy like LJ Fort. So it'll be interesting to watch. But with that said, I hear people are already talking with Matakevich. Oh, he's a guy that you won't be able to sneak through waivers and get.
I got 50 of those on Thursday night when I said, he's going to go to the practice squad barring injury. Look, I have him as 11th on the list of linebackers, and obviously inside outside, at that point you're not necessarily competing with positional guys. With Ross Ventrone out, maybe they only carry 9 DBs and they carry 11 linebackers. I don't know, but he's not going to beat out Steven Johnson. I don't think he's going to beat out LJ Fort, so he's going to have to make it as a special teams guy. I would be surprised. I'm not going to rule it out. I wouldn't put it above 25%.
The thing is with Matakevich is it's really going to have to be special teams based, I think, because a guy like Fort would be an exclusive rights free agent after the season. So, he could easily be kept if you're thinking about future roster spots. But, with that said, you got to play for the now anyway, and you've got to keep the best 53 guys on your roster who give you the best chance to win this year, in my opinion. It's going to be a great battle to watch the rest of the way between Fort and Matakevich. And like I said, you look at the plays that Matakevich was in on against the Eagles the other night. He certainly didn't hurt his chances of making the roster this year with the way he played.
I'll agree with that. Dave, where do you want to go next? What's
What did you think about Ladarius Green's talk with the media on Saturday? Did you watch that?
I did not see that.
Man, they hit him from every different way, David. Here's my big – I wrote about this and all the quotes that were out there stemming from that. And if people haven't seen that interview yet, it is or was up on Steelers.com. And I think it still is. I haven't checked recently. But – Here's the thing. When you look back at what they call the Madden rule, David, that Madden rule states that once a player is diagnosed with a suspected concussion, he is not permitted to meet or talk with the press until he is medically cleared. Now, does that rule apply to off-season situations such as the one Green could possibly going through? I'm not really sure, and with Mike Tomlin set to meet with the media on Wednesday, if you were there for that press conference, I would like to see you kind of ask Mike Tomlin indirectly, say, look, Mike, we know that you don't have any players, or you said that you don't have any players in concussion protocol, or didn't have any players in concussion protocol, but can you explain the Madden rule to us, and if a player is in concussion protocol during this time of the season, is he or is he not allowed to talk to the media? How he answers that question, you know, could shed some light on whether or not Ladarius Green is indeed still in concussion protocol. Now, it doesn't mean that he might not have been prior to his talk with the media on Saturday, but to me, it looked like Ladarius Green's head was spinning during this interview, and I know my head certainly hurt after watching it. I'm not sure we got any more clarity. Green still doesn't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the regular season. I think it's obvious at this point he's not going to play in the preseason game Friday night against the New Orleans Saints. Moving forward from there, I think I would be shocked if he plays in the finale against the Carolina Panthers. You know, I don't know what's going on with the guy. He still says that his ankle is not yet 100%, and it's still not there. There's still stuff he's got to work on. There's still stuff he's pushing towards to get better, and those were his exact words. So he doesn't know where the report came from, or he doesn't understand why his agent would say what he supposedly did to Aditi Kinkwabala. So did we gain any clarity from what happened during his interview Saturday with the media? Absolutely not. But more than anything, I think what I took away from it was him saying that he's frustrated not being out there, and it's pretty tough on him, and having to pick things up mentally and still focus on everything else that goes along with this. But this certainly hasn't gone, I wouldn't think, the way the Steelers hoped it would when they signed him in March.
Of course. And it's, you know, it appears that it's not ankle related, and you know, maybe there's still some residual impact from the surgery that he had. But yeah, this brings another aspect into it, and it's another aspect that we obviously have a much greater time judging the severity and, you know, what kind of situation it is. So yeah, no question. This isn't how the Steelers wanted it to go down. But at the same time, I'm not going to be the guy, as some have been suggesting, he's never going to play for the Steelers, or, you know, just take this thing to outrageous levels when we don't know anything, and it is all speculation. And as you say, hopefully Wednesday with Mike Tomlin, we figure some more things out.
And if you get a if you do get a chance, David, kind of make a note of that and ask him about that Madden rule. If you think about it, I'd be interested to hear Mike's response to that.
Who is that named after?
It comes from the Madden game, actually. It's quite interesting if you research the Madden rule as far as, and I got a link up to on the site in the article in the post that I did. Stemming from the NFL Players Association, the NFL Head, Neck, and Spine Committee's protocols regarding diagnosis and management of concussion. So if you want to look at the copy of that document, it lists the Madden rule in there, David.
Okay, so
here's what it says specifically about Madden rule. On game day, per the Madden rule, a player diagnosed with a concussion must be removed from the field of play and observed in the locker room by qualified medical personnel. The Madden rule is intended to protect the players by providing a quiet environment with appropriate medical supervision to permit the player time to recover without distraction. Once a player is diagnosed with a suspected concussion, he is not permitted to meet or talk with the press until he is medically cleared.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that all makes sense. And yes, you would think that would apply at all times.
Right. But I mean, that's speculation on my part. And it'd be nice to see if that's only kind of in season or after games, or if it applies to a situation with a guy like Ladarius Green, who hasn't even practiced or played a game since signing with the Steelers. That's kind of my gray area on that, and that's why I bring it up to you.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, what else we got to get to?
Well, Dustin Vaughn fractured a thumb, it sounds like, in the game against the Eagles, and the Steelers decided not to place to waive him injured, and instead they went out and signed Bryn Renner, who was previously, most recently, with the San Diego Chargers, and of course he spent last preseason with the Baltimore Ravens. You know, this is a guy that it looks like on the surface is going to see some playing time in the game Friday night against the New Orleans Saints, and then assuming he stays healthy, you would think sees considerable amount of playing time in the finale against the Carolina Panthers. So now you have a team, a 90-man roster, heading into the second half of their preseason with five quarterbacks on their 90-man roster. And, you know, this number three quarterback position seems to be really, really up in the air. We all assume that a guy like Bruce Gradkowski is going to miss multiple weeks into the start of the regular season with, quote-unquote, a significant hamstring tear. How long Dustin Vaughn and that, I mean, you would think that thumb of his is going to keep him sidelined into the start of the regular season. So, the question I guess most have is why haven't they done anything with Gradkowski or Vaughn right now, and how much of a shot does a guy like Renner actually have moving forward here? And my answer to that would be, well, heck, you don't know what could happen in these final two preseason games with Ben Roethlisberger and Landry Jones, so you're probably going to want to keep all of your options open as far as backup quarterbacks go until those two final preseason games are played, and then at that time, assuming both Roethlisberger and Landry Jones make it out of the preseason entirely healthy, well, then you can decide to, you know, let's say place Gradkowski on IR, maybe waive injured a guy like Dustin Vaughn, and then see what's out there on the waiver wire after the final cuts are made as far as a number three quarterback goes if you don't like what you see with Renner.
I think that's exactly right. Another thing about Gradkowski, which we were talking about on my show on Friday, is here's the situation. If the other two guys are healthy, well, as the number three quarterback, he's obviously going to be inactive. And if the hamstring tear is this type where we're talking, you know, 4 to 6 weeks instead of, you know, 6 to 8 or a longer period of time, and he's going to be capable, maybe you're effectively just going to go to open the season with two quarterbacks and just take your time with Gradkowski. And if you have an emergency, obviously, you know, if somebody gets hurt, you know, the first week or something like that, then you have to do something differently. But if he's going to be able, physically able in group in week three, let's say, then maybe you are better just carrying him on the roster. I thought for sure they'd get rid of him, but I think that the answer is at this point there isn't a better option out there anyway. So you're not helping yourself by taking him off the rosters and making a decision with injured reserve or something along those lines. So I imagine now he will be with the team until the last cut on Labor Day weekend, and then at that point they'll have a decision to make. They will have gotten, you know, two more weeks of rehab in and evaluation as to where he is physically, and then they can make that decision and move forward. I mean, I don't know anything about this kid they signed. What's his background, Dave?
Well, he come out of North Carolina. I looked at a little bit of his stuff just recently for a post that I did on Sunday about him. You know, he does some good. He does some things well. Here's what I took away. Obviously, you can go straight to the stat book and look that he completed 66.2% of his 65 pass attempts last year in the preseason time he received with the Baltimore Ravens. If you dig a little bit deeper, while late in games, you'll see that he completed 12 of the 18 passes that he attempted on third downs, with 9 of those 12 completions resulting in first downs. As far as his deep passing game went, he completed 4 of his 10 deep pass attempts that traveled more than 15 yards past the line of scrimmage. He did have a handful of touchdowns, but a couple of interceptions that don't look great on tape on top of it. He's a typical kind of fringe guy. If he did anything that's worth pointing to, I think, during his preseason time with the Saints or with the Ravens, it was probably in that game against the Saints last year where he rebounded after throwing that interception, and he led the team on a 14-play, 80-yard drive for a comeback victory. You know, in a preseason game, he completed 5 of his 12 pass attempts during that drive and converted a key fourth down to Max Williams during that game, and he looked poised for what it's worth in a first preseason game late after throwing an interception. So, you know, is it likely that he makes the 53-man roster? I think. Odds are definitely against him, but you know, it's at the same time, I guess it's plausible considering that he's going to probably have, you know, a considerable amount of playing time in these last two preseason games. So, I haven't gone entirely through all of the snaps that he played with the Ravens last year, but in the limited tape that I have seen, you can see why, you know, he was brought in to be given a chance.
Yeah, I think there's probably zero chance he makes it unless he comes out and looks like, you know, Johnny Unitas here for these two games. There will be quarterbacks cut who are obviously in camp with other teams. If you assume every team has, you know, minimum three guys, okay, we're talking 90, and some teams, you know, 96, or some teams have more than that. You know, there are 100 quarterbacks on rosters, and so, you know, he's not in camp with anybody. That tells you much everything you need to know. So the Steelers bring an arm in, and for some reason, it's not going to happen. There'll be guys who are cut who I'm sure the Steelers would prefer and would lean to. And we saw last year when they picked up Keshawn Lyons and Ross Cockrell, guys who were cut by not very good teams who didn't make their rosters. In fact, Cockrell was on the street for 10 days or so. He was cut when they cut down to 75. So, yeah, he's not gonna make the team, but it'll be interesting now to see how they play things. And they are just basically being conservative to protect the position and, you know, take as long as they can and get as much information as they can with Gretkowski and obviously with Vaughn too. What was the read, Dave, for Vaughn in terms of the initial comment in terms of how long he'd be out?
I think it's unknown at this point, but I mean, a fractured thumb, I mean, it's definitely gonna keep him out for the final two preseason games, one would think.
Yeah, it's a fractured thumb on his throwing hand, right?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit there.
A fractured thumb on his throwing hand.
Right.
A fractured thumb. Yeah, so he's done. He's going to end up waived, injured, or whatever. But again, you know, they didn't have to make that decision. You can play with the last 10 guys on the 90-man roster, even though they want to keep the spots filled. You know, we're talking about, you know, when we talk about guys who are competing for roster spots, you're inside the number 75. So they've got 15 guys they can cut at any point in time. And so at the quarterback position, because of the value of the position, they don't want to make any rash decisions. So we'll see how that one plays out as well. All right, Dave. So the word is, it appears, you know, Ben spoke this morning and he would like to play a little bit in this game on Friday night. You gonna give him a series or two?
Yeah, I hope he gets a little more than that. To be quite honest with you, I'd like to see him play the entire first half. But whether or not he will is yet to be seen. On the flip side, you would like to see a guy like Landry Jones get some time to some meaningful playing time to try to rebound from the performance that he had against the Eagles as well. So, I don't know, if I had to venture a guess, I would say the first quarter for Roethlisberger with nothing with the high side being the entire first half. So, you know, if he comes out there and has a good opening drive, do I even mess with him past that? Probably not. I'd probably get the bubble wrap out and put him in it after that. But, you know, if he comes out there and they go 3 and out on the first drive, well, then obviously you probably want to see a little bit more from him. Same with guys like Antonio Brown and D'Angelo Williams and the rest of the guys that, you know. I tell you, the real interesting one to watch is Marcus Wheaton, David. You know, why haven't we seen him yet? And will we see him against against the Saints? Is there more to that injury maybe than what we know? So that's the guy that I'm really going to be watching closely to see if he's able to get on the field and play, is Marcus Wheaton against the Saints.
Yeah, Marcus Wheaton needs to get out there and get some reps and do something. I'm with you on that. All right, I'm a little bit pressed for time. We got anything else we should be hitting on here?
Yeah, well, you know, what do you think about the battle between Hubbard and B.J. Finney right now?
Well, I think you throw out the tape you saw on Hubbard at tackle and pretty much ignore that. Steelers, you know, they've got their situation at tackle. Ryan Harrison would be the next guy up, and then Hawkins would be up. Hawkins would be up after him. So I'm not going to evaluate Hubbard's tackle play and suggest that that's going to have him make the team or not make the team. I mean, I'll just go basically on the enthusiasm that Mike Munchak had for Hubbard's work. Again, this was before the two games, so you know the games are more important than anything he does in practice. But I'll still think that Hubbard is the leader in the clubhouse.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, being as how, you know, Hubbard played left guard in the opener against Detroit. And then, of course, he had to come back in the game and play right tackle in that game. And against the Eagles the other night, he only played left tackle. So, you know, if he's going to be one of your options as an interior guy this year, where his value is probably the best for this team right now, one would hope that in these final two preseason games, he'd get a lot of work at left guard. So that's one thing to look at. Finney right now has only played right guard and center, with a guy like Cody Wallace likely to miss this game against the Saints Friday night with a hyperextended knee. Well, we'll probably see Finney at right guard and center in this game as this battle continues. But neither of these two guys have really stood out for positives, talking about Finney and Hubbard so far. So, you know, interesting to see this one play out. What do you see with the battle for what could be number 9 and number 10 as far as defensive backs go, David? You know, I kind of have this narrowed down to guys like Montel Garner, Shabazz, and Jordan Dangerfield for two possible spots, and it could wind up that none of those three players get those two spots in the organization, go outside.
Yeah, Donald Washington, the guy I would lean toward Garner. He's been, to me, in practice and in the games, I think he's done okay. But, you know, this is, you know, the interesting thing is, for me, the ninth guy is Sanquez Golson, as we've been talking about. So then he goes on IR, so now you're 8 DBs. And I don't think they'll start the season with 8 DBs. So I think the guys you're talking about are right: Washington, Shabazz.
Let me point out, I don't have Washington. I think Washington's time is going to be limited. I don't think he's shown enough to warrant even being considered. But, I mean, that's just me.
Okay. Well, you know, those would be the four guys who are in the conversation, and they bring different things. And you would think they'd probably lean to corner. So that maybe gets Dangerfield out of the running. And I would lean, you know, Garner or Shabazz are the two guys. So, you know, we'll see how they play in this game. But again, you know, the Steelers, I very seriously think the Steelers will be, you know, claiming a DB, claiming a tight end, claiming a quarterback on the waiver wire. I mean, not necessarily 100%, but they will be scouring those positions to look for guys that can help them, because I don't think they shouldn't be confident enough in their defensive backfield depth. They clearly have issues at tight end, depending on how Ladarius Green goes. And look, they just added a quarterback, and depending on how that all plays out, when more talented quarterbacks become available, they'll probably go to the market again.
The thing is about Garner, Shabazz, and Dangerfield is you can cut all three of those without fear that any of them are going to end up on another roster. So, you know, that gives you a lot of leeway, and I fully expect one and maybe two to come from outside of this organization. But with that said, there's still time for guys like Garner and Shabazz and Dangerfield to make, you know, one last final push here during these final two games. Your thoughts on the battle between Xavier Grimble and Xavier Grimble?
Yeah, he's going to win because Default is not having a very good camp either. But you'd like to see him make the plays he's supposed to make. He's physically, he's got the gifts. It's a he said all the right things coming into this training camp about maturity and knowing what it takes to be an NFL player. But, you know, there's a reason he's bounced through for now his fourth NFL organization. So, you know, there's not somebody else there who's going to take his spot. And, you know, I don't know. He's had his redshirt year already. This is, again, another reason to be more focused on what's going to happen on the transaction wire at tight end, because obviously David Johnson is what he is. And I would have thought, you know, ideally a guy like David Johnson isn't good enough to make your team, but he's a blocker and he's a guy the Steelers are familiar with. So there's a comfort level there. But if Xavier Grimble played really well in camp and in the exhibition games, the preseason games, you wouldn't think twice about whether David Johnson was on or off the roster. But Grimble hasn't been that guy. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is a position where, look, I mean, David Johnson's probably going to win a spot by default because of position flexibility. So you watch and see what happens with Ladarius Green. And it's Grimble's, unfortunately, by default right now. But can't rule out this team looking at another tight end that maybe can not only give you something in special teams off the waiver wire after the final cuts, but be a reliable second blocker, you know, in a 12 personnel type grouping as well too. Boy, for all the hype that we had on Grimble dating back to maybe the middle of last year, really uninspired right now through the first two preseason games, and certainly hope that he can turn it around in these final two for sure.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, what else do we have? Anything else you're looking forward to asking Mike on Wednesday?
We'll get into some of the IR questions to make sure we understand procedurally what's going on. That's about it. We'll try to get a better understanding of all these injuries and where things are with the quarterback position and some of these other positions. But it'll be the first time I've had a chance to talk to Mike, so, you know, we'll see how it goes.
All right, I guess we'll kind of leave it at that, a little shorter podcast on a Monday. Hopefully we'll be able to get back at this on Wednesday and start previewing the Steelers' third preseason game on the road Friday night against the New Orleans Saints. I know David's kind of pressed for time this morning as well, too. So you can follow me on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. Follow the show, at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, go to SteelersDepot.com and find that donate button in the upper right-hand navigational bar. David, I look forward to some of the questions you asked Mike on Wednesday, and let's do this maybe again Wednesday morning.
Or Wednesday after, maybe Wednesday after we talk, after we hear what Mike has to say. We'll figure it out. But as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.